Wednesday, December 7th, 1994, and I'm here interviewing my friend, longtime friend and associate, Mrs. Sylvia Arnett, former horse owner and horse enthusiast, Louisville, Kentucky. Mrs. Arnett, my friend Sylvia, it's good to be here today and talk to you about your experiences with the thoroughbred industry. Why don't we start with a little of your personal story? When and where were you born? What was the full name that you were given when you were born?
My name is Sylvia Evelyn Arnett. I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, March 18, 1936. Small neighborhood adjacent to the racetrack, known as South Louisville.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, there were originally 11 of us, of which 6 are still surviving.
And where were you in terms of position, in terms of your brothers and sisters?
I was the last of 11.
You were the baby of 11.
Right.
Were any of your family members involved in horse racing before you?
I have a sister that's deceased now, Marion Williams, and she was the owner of 2 thoroughbreds. This goes back quite a few years before African American women were involved in racing. She did have some winners, and she also had a black trainer.
Do you remember who those horses were that Marion had?
I remember Dr. Vance. And it'll take me a few minutes to think of the other horses.
That's all right. But the trainer that she had with her?
Joe Willis.
Joe Willis.
Yes, he was a black African-American trainer from Lexington, Kentucky.
Was this in the 40s or earlier than the 40s?
No, I think this was back in the 50s.
Oh, it was in the 50s
then? In the 50s, right.
So then your sister then was the first person from your family involved in owning horses. Now, did you have any other of your siblings to work around the horses, being from South Louisville?
Well, my brother and a couple of nephews, Kenneth Williams, traveled around on the racing circuit, and Michael Batchelor, which is a nephew.
Can you tell me if you've been married? I know you've been married a long time now.
Yes, I've been married 41 years.
That's wonderful.
To the same person.
And his name?
Johnny Arnett.
And you have children?
3 sons.
And their names?
Johnny Arnett Jr., Alonza Arnett, and Anthony Arnett, that are known as Tony.
And you know, I feel like your children are my children. We've been so close. We lived 2 doors from each other on M Street when you grew up on M Street. How about your parents and your grandparents? Where were they from and were they in racing?
No, they were not involved in racing. My grandparents, Hayden Ralston and Carolyn Ralston, lived on Rodman Street. They go back to the 1800s, and when they originally purchased the house on Rodman, the down payment was $4. And the rent was $4 a month. The house is still standing on Rodman. There aren't any occupants now, but it is in still livable condition. I hope it remains in the family.
Then your parents?
My mother was Carolyn Elizabeth Williams, and my father was Cleveland Williams. He was, his brother was a full-blooded Indian, and he was a half Indian. He was adopted. We don't know much of his background other than through his brother, Herman, who lived in Indianapolis and came to Louisville to visit us occasionally.
Knowing your family like I know them very well, almost like my family, I remember the days of old when your mother was very interested in horse racing. In fact, we were some of her runners to the bookie in the old days, and you were a part of that too. Your mother was very interested in horse racing. She kept up with them every day, didn't she?
Yes. Even though she was just a housewife, for some reason she had an interest in the racing, in the races. I remember some of the comical things that happened when I used to run errands to the bookie at 3rd and Winkler, go to the back door and give the note and the 50 cents to the man for a 50 cent show parlay. She was a pro with the show parlay.
Oh, yes.
And the guy really scratched his head a lot of times wondering how in the world she came up with all these long shots and ran the 50 cent parlay up to a reasonable amount of money. But to her, it was sort of a small business. With all the kids and the responsibility of running a household and being a housewife, she had to find an additional way to raise income.
That's right. And your mother was like the mother of the whole community. In fact,
right.
All of us called her mom.
Right.
And I spent just as much time in your house as I did in my house. She
right.
cooked for the neighborhood, and
right.
she was just a wonderful, wonderful person.
Right.
We'll never forget her. She's
yeah.
just a wonderful person. How did it happen that you started with horses?
My interest in horses first began when my brother-in-law, Jacob Batchelor, hauled furniture for a year or two to save enough money to buy a racehorse. His wife, Mildred, thought he had lost his mind because they had 5 kids to take care of, and she just couldn't see a future in a racehorse. There were other things.
But Jake was really interested in horses himself.
He had a love for horses, and he was determined that he was going to own a horse.
And so, you remember the first horse that was that Jake owned, that he bought?
No.
Were you involved in that also?
No, I wasn't involved in that horse. If I can remember, then I might be wrong. I think the horse was Airy Dream.
Airy Dream. I remember
him. If that's a mistake, then mm-hmm. Airy Dream is the other horse that belonged to my sister. But I think that was the
Do you know how much he paid for that
first
horse?
First, again, I...
Was he a claimer?
A claimer, right.
He was a claimer.
I think his goal was to raise $2,500 for that horse, and it took him approximately 2 years hauling furniture.
Isn't that something? He worked, had a job other than that, too. He worked
right.
at International Harvester,
right.
as I remember.
Right, he worked full-time at International Harvester.
And Jake and Millie had 5 children
right.
at that particular time. And do you remember about what time that was when he first got involved with
when Jake first got the horses.
Was that in the 50s or the 60s?
I would say in the late 50s, early 60s.
All right. And then when did you get involved? Directly involved with the horses. After he'd gotten that horse and gotten off in the business, I'm sure he probably bought some other horses began to invest more and more into horse racing.
Right. And my interest began when I traveled around to the various tracks with Jay. It was just always a thrill to go along with him for the ride, although it was a hairy ride. Because
what tracks would you go to?
Because he should have been a race car driver, but instead, we were trying to make the first race at the various racetracks.
And then you, of course, would be Millie and you and Jake and
right.
two or three others.
Right.
Where would you be going to what tracks?
Basically, Keeneland.
Keeneland.
Right. And Miles Park when it was running.
Yes.
I think Jake originally started out at Miles Park. That's where he ran his first horse.
Now, did you owned a horse at one time, or several horses? Who were some of them, and would you talk about them? Tell a little bit about
well,
who they were.
Well, the way I got into racing was after Jake's sudden death. He had left 2 horses, a filly, and another horse, Naughty Jake, and. He had told my sister Mildred that if anything ever happened to him, to sell the horses. But Mildred and I got the bright idea that we would try to keep the racing thing going. So we decided to try to race the horses.
So the horse that won the debutante stakes was named for you. Was that 1972? Silver Mill?
Right, right.
And won
right.
that won
right.
the debutante stakes?
Right.
And the name Silver Mill, that, but you didn't own that horse then.
No, that was Jake's horse.
That was Jake's horse.
He named it after my sister Mildred and
myself.
You.
That's
right.
And she that was her maiden, that she broke her maiden that day that she when she won.
No, that was the second.
The second.
Well, yeah, that was her maiden race. That was the second time she had run.
Yeah, and but she had never won before, and
no,
she won a debutante. And that was on Derby Day, too.
On Derby Day. That was a thrill of a lifetime.
I'm sure it was. In fact, I remember all of South Louisville celebrating that day.
Right. We look back at the picture, and I think there looks to be maybe 30 to 50 on the picture. So we have some very good memories.
That's wonderful. And then when you all got into business, though, it was after Jake died suddenly.
Right.
And what year was that? Do you remember?
Took over the horses,
1984. And then is that when Naughty Jake and Mr. Jake and all those start coming along?
Right. He had bred Naughty Jake and Mr. Jake. That's where we got Mr. Jake, which was the first horse. And we named him after Jake, in memory of Jake.
Isn't that wonderful?
Right.
And Naughty Jake was one that Jake owned, right?
Right.
And so then he took a mare to Naughty Jake,
right.
And out of Naughty Jake came Mr. Jake.
Right.
And Mr. Jake was a winner?
Yes, And we also had a filly by the name of Naughty Millie.
Did she win? Was she a winner too?
Out of that same bred. No, Mr. Jake won at Latonya. We raced him at Latonya. He won his first race February 17th, 1985. Sudie L. Whitaker, which is late Afro-American trainer.
Was your trainer?
Was our trainer. And Leroy Moyes was the jockey. I think everyone in South Louisville was looking forward to this this horse racing because the mutuals was only $5, $3.40, and $3.20, which shows that we had a lot
of... Was that the first race that Mr. Jake ran that he won? Did he win right out of the box?
The first
race out of the box?
No, we had a little bad luck the first time we ran him. His bandages came off.
I see.
He finished second at Latonya.
But then
we turned around and ran him again, and he won.
And then what happened? Did you own any other horses besides Mr. Jake?
Yes, I had. I've been involved in quite a few horses. I had a horse by the name of B.B. Heck, and Lee Jackson was my trainer. And I also had...
Did B.B. Heck win?
No.
Didn't win.
We didn't have any luck with B.B. Heck. We also had a horse called Mr. Palmer. This was in July 1986. And Whitaker was still my trainer. We ran Mr. Palmer at Ellis Park. The jockey was Terry Warner.
And I see the picture there of Sudie and all the... Everybody's there?
Right, basically family members again. That's my sister Mildred and Michael, her son, my sister Margie, and Khrushchev.
It's Ellis Park, July 20th, 1986.
Right. Mr. Palmer was a good horse. He had a few problems, but as you can see, we had a lot of support again. Mutuals was 460, 340, and 320.
And that was at Ellis Park,
and then
you had some others too, right?
Right. We ran at River Downs.
Did you win at River Downs too?
Yes, we won a race at River Downs.
Well, you've been all over the Midwest circuit then, haven't you?
Right. I'm trying to think of the date at River Downs.
Was that the same horse?
No, that was another horse.
You remember who he was?
No, I'll have to go back.
Well, that's okay. But
you've had
several horses then in lifetime, right?
Okay, I made a mistake. That was B.B. Heck.
B.B. Heck, then?
B.B. Heck, yeah.
Was that the one that Lee Jackson trained?
Right, Lee Jackson was the trainer. That was July 1988.
July 1988.
Mm-hmm. Again, we had family members, my niece Beverly and her daughter Michelle, and Lee's son.
Tell me a little bit about the African-Americans in horse racing. What do you think about the plight of African Americans in horse racing is, and what is it, and what is the future? Is there any, is aside from the thrill of horse racing, is it a good industry to be associated with? What are some of the ups and downs?
I think there's a future in racing for African Americans. It's a hard game and it's an expensive game. I've always heard that race owners are game for the rich people only. But that's not true. I think living around the track at Churchill Downs was an inspiration to the little person to at least give it a try. The knowledge is there because the majority of the people that live in the neighborhood have worked on the track or around the track at one time or another. We still have a long ways to go because I don't think that the African American is really taken seriously in the racing business. When you look at people like MC Hammer and Barry Gordy and people that really have a lot of money, then you know, you think that they can make it, but the little man, he doesn't have the money, and it's hard to get facilities, and it's just an expensive game as far as trainers and feed and vets and all the other things go. But to make it to the races and actually win a race, and especially an allowance race for an African American, I think that is a lifetime dream and accomplishment.
Yes. Now, but, and then isn't that strange though that the know-how,
right,
that is the basic know-how of how to train horses, how to groom horses, how to get horses ready for races, that knowledge is with the African American. You've seen that over the years.
Right.
And at the same time, do you think that's because of discrimination? Think that has anything to do with it? Economic discrimination?
In a way, I think so.
What about trainers that you've seen in the past, African-American trainers?
They are far and few between.
How do you rate them in terms of their training techniques as opposed to some of the other trainers?
I think it's basically on the same level. It's just a matter of working around the horses and knowing, because there's a couple of top trainers that come out of Lexington that have done very well, allowance and stake race.
Right.
Yes.
How would you rate Jacob Batchelor as a trainer?
I think Jake was an excellent trainer. I'm just sorry that he's not around today, because I think he would be
at the top of the line.
Right. I think he would be one of the most outstanding African-American trainers around the country. So I'd like to say a little bit more about Jake. He traveled to Delaware, New Jersey, and he won some very good stake races there. So with just the little amount of money he had to work with, it took a lot of know-how to make it as far as he did.
Yes, and then working at the same time. He always held his regular job.
Right. There's an interesting article in Sports Illustrated about Jake Batchelor, and it told how he worked at night as an oiler, International Harvester, and then spent his days on the backside at Churchill Downs.
Where did Jake get his knowledge? Was it just by being
just
in a neighborhood?
Working around the
sort of like all
track
of us that grew up around the track, right?
Right,
he got his
knowledge
firsthand, right?
Right.
Do you remember some of the older African-American trainers like Mr. Elsie Brown and Carl Sitgraves and Arthur Tats Perosia?
Right, I know all of those trainers.
And how would you rate them?
Well, they were always someone that you looked up to in the neighborhood, and it always gave you the inspiration to try to accomplish anything that you thought you might want to try. I think living right there in the neighborhood, we just accepted it. We didn't really know what we had or how important it would be later on in life, but there were so many that came through the neighborhood that we met, people that were not from Louisville, but we always looked forward to seeing them around race time. We knew that we'd be there year in and year out, and it was just an exciting time of the year.
I'd like to talk, change the conversation and talk a little bit about your family and the emphasis that they placed on schooling. I know that you went to Central, graduated from Central, and then you had some other jobs besides. You had a job, you're retired now, and owner of an establishment here in the West End, but how important was education to your family?
Well, very few in my family got a chance to go further than high school. So it was stressed that school was important, and the main aim was to at least get each and every one out of high school. I have one sister that completed Municipal College. She majored in French, and we were all very proud of her. Her name is Althea. Her nickname was Pierre.
That's right.
And she was very fluent in French. She had a chance to go to Haiti at one time, and I really wish that she had taken advantage of the opportunity, because I think she would have made a very good French teacher, and I'm sure she would have been able to speak the language fluently.
Well, you know, she and I were around the same time.
Right.
We came
right,
along
right,
the
right.
same time.
Right.
She was a very, very bright person.
Right.
I remember her winning the citywide spelling bee.
Right.
When she was a teenager.
Right.
And then I followed her about a year later. We both came out of the same elementary school. That was a school of, that you attend G.G. Moore to?
Did
you
graduate? I attended G.G. Moore.
And then from G.G. Moore to?
Jackson Junior High School.
And then from there to
Central High School.
What kind of jobs have you held in life?
Well, I married right out of high school. No, I went to U of L for 1 year. And then I got married, and I decided to travel with my husband, who was in the Marine Corps. So we traveled the East Coast, West Coast for 21 years, after which he retired in 1971.
And then moved back to Louisville.
We returned to Louisville in 1971. Going back to the schooling, my mother always expressed the desire for us to at least graduate from high school, because she said it was very important, you know, to go as far as you could. And money was a problem. You know, we just didn't have that much money for college.
Especially with 11 children.
With 11 children. But at least one graduated and the other did have a chance to go. I worked at various jobs while we traveled in the service, mainly civil service jobs on the different bases. And after we got out of the service and returned to Louisville, I got a job at American Standard. Which a lot of people from our neighborhood worked at American Standard.
In fact, your dad worked there.
Right, my dad, my brother, brother-in-law, quite a
right.
few members of the family. American Standard is a plumbing and heating company, and at one time they were the best bathtub and enamelware plant in the country. I worked there for 18 years. And
what kind of work were
I worked in accounting.
In accounting. Right.
That gave me a little knowledge as to how to handle the building.
Books and stuff.
And books
you got knowledgeable
around
about
the races.
That's right.
Right.
And that helped out. That helped out with the keeping records and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
business, and even in your business now, I'm sure that pays
right,
off.
Right, right, right. My husband and I own a lounge now, and it was named after me, which is the old lounge. Located at 2403 West Broadway.
How long have you all been in this business?
In July, we will be here 5 years. It's been very interesting, and if I'm around long enough, I would like to write a book about it.
Well, maybe you'll write a book about your life, because it's been very, very interesting. And horse racing has always been part of it. I know I always see you at the track.
Right.
We meet
right.
at the track.
I can't think of anything I would like to do better.
Sometimes when you lose, though, it kind of makes you think, doesn't it?
But there's always hope.
Well, thank you very, very much for the interview. I'm sure that this is going to be a treasure for the museum. Do you have any more things that you would like to wind
Before
up with?
Before we close, at one time I had one ambition, and that was to be a African-American female trainer. I've read the book frontwards and backwards, but I just never had the opportunity to be on the backside to learn the various chores that you have to know to be a trainer.
But you've spent a little time on the backside, I'm
yes,
sure, being from
yes,
South Louisville.
Yes, yes.
Did you ever you know how to walk horses,
right,
for sure.
Right. And then there's a class at Churchill Downs, which I didn't know. But for people interested in being trainers and hot walkers and working on the backside, you can get a crash course.
That's right.
Get a job and then go from there.
That's right. That's in fact, U of L has an equine program
right.
now, and you can get that in a kind of crash program in a 2 or 3 week program for stewards, for trainers, owners, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for your conversation today. And it's always nice to be in your presence and to talk to you, Sylvia. And I'm sure that the museum is going to be able to use this tape.
Okay, I have enjoyed the interview. And I'm just happy that we are in the African American exhibit at the racetrack.
Talk a little bit about that.
That was a real thrill, too. I'm sorry that my brother-in-law, Jake, was not around to see this, but... there is a permanent exhibit at the Churchill Downs Museum, and we are a part of that exhibit. There's a video that travels around the country for the school kids to see, and it is just really a thrill to be a part of something this big. We started out so small we never dreamed that we would be a part of Churchill Downs forever. We would be in the history.
Well, we are part of that history, and
right.
it's a glorious history,
right,
too.
Right. So the whole family was just elated, and we are truly proud to be a part of Churchill Downs.
Thank you much.
Thank you.